Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Back in April, we reported on how the game Dungeons & Dragons was celebrating its 50th birthday. Its enduring popularity can be ascribed to many factors. It's fun, it's social, and it's good for you. A study carried out by UCC found that it's very good for mental health. Orla Walsh from the School of Applied Psychology was the study lead. Good afternoon, Orla.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Now, because I suppose part of your finding is to do with the way the game is structured, in that imagination plays a part in this.
Absolutely. One of our findings was related to imagination and creativity. And I suppose in the game, there's kind of endless possibilities, and people found that really exciting and beneficial.
Yeah. No, but there is one person in the game who's kind of making it up. Sounds like I'm being pejorative, but I'm not. But they are making up a certain amount of it. How much latitude do they have to do that?
Yeah. So in the group of people that you're playing with, one person will be the dungeon master. So the dungeon master is the person who's, I suppose, describing the setting and the scenarios, and they're guiding the other players. But the other players have a lot of input as well. So they create a character, and then as that character, they go on a journey in an imaginary world, and they take actions as that character and stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, whilst your average game of Dungeons and Dragons can be like all day or a few hours, can they literally go on for years as well?
Absolutely. I've known of people who have been in their campaign, is what you call it, a campaign of Dungeons and Dragons for 10 plus years, which is amazing. You imagine how like in tune you get with your character when you're playing them for that long. It probably feels like an extension of yourself.
Right. How is it that some games maybe might last a day and some games last 10 years? What's the difference there?
So some games are called a one-shot. So a one-shot will be when it's just a scenario that you're going to play through in a day, let's say. But then in a campaign, usually you start it with the good intention of continuing for a long time. But, you know, as an adult, it's very hard to get a group of people organized to regularly meet. So I think life gets in the way often. But the campaign I've been in has been going for a few years now, and we meet about twice a month, I'd say.
Yeah. So but then if the people you're playing with, then are you continuing the same campaign?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, right. OK. So you don't know how long this might go on for.
No, like, as I said, the intention is to keep going, but, you know, life gets in the way, I guess. But and I think, you know, with our findings, it was people who had been playing in the same games for a long time reported the most positive impacts on their mental health. And I can give you a couple examples if you want of how people used it. So one of our main things we found was that people were taking their everyday problems and bringing them into the game and kind of using the game as a way to navigate them. So one player was struggling a lot with depression and loss. So they made a character with the purpose of having kind of a redemption story in the game. They were finding it really difficult to talk about their emotions in their personal life. So they kind of put those emotions on the character, and then found that because there was that kind of buffer and that they were speaking as a character, no one's going to think it's their own emotions, that they could kind of comfortably speak then, because there wasn't kind of, I suppose, real life consequences tied to the words that they were saying.
Yes. Yeah. So and that's why I'm kind of using you personally as a guinea pig here, Orla, in the sense that the amount of latitude people have to write and alter the story slightly, that say you're meeting with your friends every 2 months. Say in that 2 month period, you're a PhD researcher and you've written something and somebody else in the college says, that's absolute garbage, or like, go back again. You're having a crisis of confidence. Yeah. The next time you play Dungeons and Dragons, and you'll have feelings about that. Can you weave that into the story to help you kind of metabolize it?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the people I spoke to had started a new job, and she found she was the only woman working in the place that she was working. And she started to find it really difficult to advocate for herself and speak up and give her opinion. So she created a character who was super confident. And she said that she actually found herself in work thinking, oh, my character would deal with this situation so much better than I am. And over time, it became, I suppose, a transformative experience for her, because she became more confident in her actual life. And I've heard so many stories of people doing that, just bringing their emotions in and learning how to deal with them, becoming more confident, or, you know, initiating a conversation with someone or whatever it is, just practicing that skill, I guess, in game.
Yeah. Now, is this kind of, I suppose, is part of the appeal that you're kind of talking about it, but not talking about it. You don't have to say to the other players, this is explicitly a reference to my own life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is typically how it is. A few people did speak of one of our players came out, their character in the game came out, and they wanted to gauge, I guess, people's reactions and how they'd react to it. And then they themselves, the person came out a little bit after and said, you know, I was kind of testing the waters because I was really anxious and wanted to almost, you know, practice saying it, which I thought was so cool, you know, that they were able to have the opportunity to practice coming out.
God, that's interesting. Can there be circumstances of playing Dungeons and Dragons where it can be not so positive, in that, you know, people can bully other people, or, you know, you play with somebody who comes out with something so grotesque and bizarre, you kind of go, oh.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you need help?
And, you know, that can happen. And I think, you know, it's a good question. And it's an interesting thing to think about, too. Like, some, because the Dungeon Master is kind of running the game, some Dungeon Masters will ask people for maybe things that might be triggering, topics that they don't want to broach in game, and then you can share that with other players. But I've definitely heard of scenarios where there'll be a player in the game who'll be doing things in game that is upsetting other characters, and then I guess that's a conflict you all have to navigate together. But it definitely can go wrong. I think when you're role playing, there's certain people maybe you wouldn't want to do it with.
Yes. So that's interesting, because I assume there's no actual, you know, there's no rule about this, that you can't mention topic X, Y and Z or act in a certain way. It's up to the group to kind of organize
exactly.
that.
Exactly. There's also a technique that some people use. It's called the X card. So it's basically just a card. And if something comes up in the game and someone says, oh, I'm not comfortable where this is going, they just put the card on the table and you move swiftly along. You don't have to talk about it. You just kind of change direction to where you're going. So there are little things like that that people have implemented. But I think when you're playing, when you're interacting with other people, there's always a chance that something, you know, yeah, is going to go south.
Yeah. So like the next time you play Dungeons and Dragons, Orla, when you kind of weave into your story that your character has written a story about the game that you're actually playing right now, in a very meta kind of a way.
Yeah, I like to, I think I use my character to get out a lot of energy, actually. I'm actually playing a character who's, she looks like a bunny rabbit and she's very excitable. And I think it's a way of me like channeling some energy into her, some, you know.
Yes.
So I love it. It's great. And okay, would definitely recommend it to people. Give it a shot.
That's so interesting. Orla, thanks a million for talking with us today. Orla Walsh, as you heard there, is an excitable bunny rabbit, also a PhD researcher at UCC.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.